Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, and just Mark and Frank hanging out today. We can't even really mess with Matt because it's not really his fault.
Legit excuse.
He has to work. He had a death of the family, and he's got things going on, and so I can't even really pick on him for missing the show.
Yeah.
And
I'd just like to say our condolences to his family.
Yeah.
You know.
And so it's just me and Frank in the studio bringing you a new episode of Rebel Radio. Found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And we are now on Google Play. So if you're an Android user, find us on Google Play by searching Rebel Radio Podcast. And you can find both our shows there, the Rebel Radio Show and Remnants of the Rebellion. And follow us on Twitter. And if you could do us a favor, if you're on iTunes or Google Play, leave us a quick 5-star review. And that helps us out a lot. It helps get into search engines, and it just shows us that you appreciate us. Help you guys help us help you.
Well, if they went by stars ratings on how much they appreciate us, it'd probably be like a 3-star.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Five stars.
Five stars. Or 5 bananas for Matt.
And no, we're not going to mess with Matt today. We can't mess with Matt.
Well, he is the monkey, so.
Legitimately missing the show.
He wants bananas.
And so it's, you know, it's kind of a slow time of the year. We've had a couple of new trailers as we get ready to start leaning towards the summer movies, which have almost came into the spring now. You're starting to get big releases in March, and you get kind of big studio films in February with like Lego Batman and John Wick 2. But March, it seems like the summer movies have gone from starting the weekend of May to moving into April and March, especially this year with Logan and Ghost in the Shell coming out in March. And last year, of course, we had Batman vs. Superman in March. And there was a new trailer for Logan in the last couple weeks. And I have to say, man, it looks really good. I really want to see Logan. It looks like a very different type of Logan or X-Men film. More of a... it takes place in the future a little bit. We know that a few years from now. And it looks like much more of a gritty, almost modern sci-fi Western version of Logan from the looks of the trailer. You know, and the sci-fi aspect simply comes from them being mutants. You know,
right.
There's no space. You're not going to see spaceships in Logan or aliens or anything like that. You know, but it's going to be interesting to watch this film. We're obviously going to talk about it more when the movie comes out, but Hugh Jackman's last turn as Wolverine.
Yeah.
Unless they end up paying him a lot of money or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I think he's moving on. I could see him maybe cameoing in the Deadpool sequel if they really ask him, but this is his last official full-blown Wolverine appearance.
Right.
And
I just hope this one's more action and less mutant.
Well, there was a lot of action in the Wolverine, the second one. You know? I thought that was the Wolverine, if you really think about it, the whole thing in Japan, other than the old guy trying to steal his healing ability, it really had it was more about Wolverine and these people that were a part of his life, and he had to come back into it, you know. I thought the Wolverine was good, other than the jumbled ending. The ending of that was what ruined it. And so I'm looking forward to this, and you know, we grew up watching, you know, different James Bonds over the years. But it was kind of because we grew up while Bond was already going on, we accepted that. This will be a little different if they recast Wolverine in a couple of years, because we're so used to Hugh, because almost 20 years he's been playing the role.
Right.
And it'll be this one, it's going to be a little harder to accept the new Wolverine. I mean,
we could accept a younger Professor Xavier.
Right.
But
even that role wasn't as iconic.
But I'm just saying, now if they get somebody to play the older professor, you know, they would have gotten somebody else in the Wolverine movie to play that role. It would have been weird.
But it'll be strange when they recast the Logan role in a couple years, assuming Fox is going to continue Wolverine. They could, you know, they're doing a new Mutants movie, so we could get a whole different direction they go in with the X-Men films. Yeah. And they also announced they're doing a X-Men series on Fox, and Bryan Singer, who directed the first two X-Men films in Days of Future Past and Apocalypse, is going to direct the pilot, and it's going to tie directly in with the Fox X-Men films. They're kind of going the route that Marvel Studios has done with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Netflix shows, and they're going to have their TV show tie in with their movies. And we don't know anything about it other than that. But they'll shoot the pilot, obviously, here probably in the next few months and see if it gets picked up for the 2017-18 television season.
Oh, I'm sure. As long as much as Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been on, I could totally see them picking that up. And it will depend on the characters that they choose. I mean, do they go with some name characters or just create new characters?
That, I think there's a slight soft war between Marvel Studios and Fox. They're not like an official war, like they're mad at each other. But, like, I think Marvel would really love to have the X-Men and Fantastic Four franchises in their hands, and they don't. Right. So there's a soft war. So in some ways, this is Fox's way of sticking it to Marvel, saying, look, we can do a TV series, too. You know, and let's see what happens with it. And
But can they? Because did their contract with them allow them to do anything outside of movies?
They settled that. That's why they're doing the X-Men pilot.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they found out that Marvel doesn't have Marvel, I think, is allowing Fox to do it. They end up settling out of court. So I don't think Marvel Studios is...
So basically, Marvel is looking at it like this. We're getting money for nothing.
Right. They're not that mad at Fleet. That's why I said it's a soft war between the two. It's more like a... It's more like a who's got a little bit bigger dick war.
Or maybe it's a Sony and Marvel situation where Sony's kind of like, hey, you Spider-Man, we're going to get money off of it.
Yeah, it could very well be something like that. So, you know, we'll see where they go with that. I'm a big X-Men guy. I loved it in the 90s. I don't read it as anymore or anything, but I like the characters, and I think X-Men is a cool franchise. And
I got into X-Men back when Wolverine was wearing the yellow and black jumpsuit.
Yeah, and, you know, so I'd like to see if the TV series can maintain a solid budget and can be well done, which I see no reason why it can't be with the shows we have on TV nowadays, that it could be fun, you know. And I just, excuse me, would like to get freaking Gambit done properly in some form of X-Men eventually.
Yeah, that would be nice. Maybe Gambit and a Rogue, you know, like the mid characters.
Right.
And do them well to where you can actually pick them up. I mean, we saw what Marvel did with some of their mid characters. I mean, let's be honest, for a long time, Iron Man was kind of one of those mid characters.
Yeah.
You know?
They kind of catapulted him. So we'll see. And the other new trailer that hit was the new Power Rangers trailer. And I personally hate the Power Rangers. I think it's dumb. There was a time for it, I guess. Even if I was a kid, I'm not sure. I honestly don't think I would like it because I think it's stupid. My son watches it. But, man, I'm going to give the trailer a little credit. It looks like it might not suck.
Well, I'll put it like this. What I've seen from the trailer versus the TV series, I was never into the TV series. But the movie actually looks interesting because of the trailer. It doesn't look too grown up, and it doesn't look too kiddish. It looks like it could fall in that where if you are an adult that grew up with it, that like Matt, you can really, really enjoy it and on an adult level, but it's still good enough to take his 6-year-old to.
Yeah, so we'll see how that turns out. So that got the new trailers out of the way, and another news brief before we get into some of our main topics for the day. Star Wars has a title, The Last Jedi. That is the official title of Episode 8, and obviously the speculation has begun. What does it mean? My personal thoughts is, I think they're referring to Luke, because in the crawl for The Force Awakens, it says in there, the First Order will not rest till The Last Jedi, Skywalker, is destroyed. Mind blown. The title was in The Force Awakens crawl. We didn't even know it. I don't think it means... I think people are overlooking it. Do I think it means a darker chapter? Yes, because the poster is red. But I don't think they're going to kill Luke. I really still stand by that this trilogy is going, in the end, going to be very similar to the original trilogy, and it's going to be about redemption. And it could be the redemption of Ben Solo. It could be Rey ends up, maybe Luke's afraid he's going to lose her like he lost Ben. We don't know. It's just all speculation. But I think that's what The Last Jedi is referring to, is simply Luke and doing his job now that the Force has awakened and bring things back to full circle. Yeah. And we'll see.
Or you know, who knows? It could be, you know, with Kylo Ren. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, with him, you know, probably betraying Luke and everything. Maybe Luke is a little skeptic to train anybody else after this. And she is trying to talk him into it. And, of course, he'll probably get visions and stuff from Yoda and his father and other members.
It'll be interesting because
to train her.
This will be the first Star Wars film that doesn't have a time gap. They've already confirmed that it starts right where The Force Awakens left off. So it'll be interesting. Will Luke have time with everything going on to contemplate whether to train her or not, you know? And because she's obviously has pretty strong use of the Force. And how do you do a crawl in a movie that takes place right after the last one left off? That'll be interesting, too.
And a galaxy far, far away where we last left off.
Exactly. And Rian Johnson, you know, is directing Episode 8. Released a little picture from the editing room the other day, and it was showing the crawl, but all it said was Episode 8, The Last Jedi. And, you know, he's like, yeah, that's all you're getting, bitches, you know? But,
or 5 minutes ago in a galaxy far, far away.
So we'll see what they do with that. That'll be interesting. So, the last show, I mentioned in February John Wick's coming out,
right.
Part 2. Did you watch, you borrow John Wick 1?
Yes.
Are you now one with the John Wick?
Yeah, I like it.
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah,
I told you it's good. It's very Asian cinema influence.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed about it.
But also,
that's what made it cool.
Modernized, I mean, John Wick's just a cool character. Yeah. Really cool scenes in it, and not just a Keanu Reeves knockoff, as people thought. I mean, he's badass in the movie.
No, actually, it's one of his better roles.
Yeah, you legitimately believe that he can kill some people.
I think
people
it's because he didn't have a lot of dialogue.
Well, he kept it simple.
Yeah.
But good film. So I'm glad you finally watched John Wick. And, you know, you're now one.
They killed off a character I wish they would have saved for the sequels.
Which one?
His friend that, like, saved his ass. What's his name's character?
It's been a while since
The other guy that basically does what they do, that was...
Willem Dafoe's character?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe's. I wish I would have seen him.
Well, he was expendable in it.
No, I don't think so. I think it would have been cool to see him, like,
ew,
help out him in another movie. And plus, I like Willem Dafoe. You know,
yeah. So. But Ian McShane's in the sequel. At least they didn't kill him, and he's a badass, too. So maybe he'll kind of take over the part Willem Dafoe had in this one. Mm-hmm. Remember, he appears at where he meets that girl and all that?
Yeah.
So he's in the sequel. Yeah. And Lawrence Fishburne's in the sequel, which is pretty cool. It's like Neo and Morpheus reunited.
Yeah, right.
You know? And maybe this is Neo's dreams.
It would have been funny if, like, in an outtake, he's like, get the guy a gun.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like they say, you know, that Indiana Jones is just Han's dreams while he's a carbonite. Maybe John Wick is Neo's dreams while he's in the Matrix.
Or maybe John Wick dreams of Neo.
It could be. We'll never know. And Morpheus made it all up in his mind.
Or maybe
if you take the green pill.
Indiana Jones dreams about Han Solo.
That would be weird. He's dreaming of himself.
Well, why wouldn't that be the same if...
As long as he doesn't have sexy time with himself in his dream, that would be really strange.
Oh, you know, you're a good lucky dude.
So, we have a new segment we were going to do, but we're going to have to save it for the next show because it actually, it's like a podcast game, and it kind of requires all three of us to be here.
Wait, there's a game?
Remember, it's going to be called Face Off.
Oh, right? But not to be associated with that awful movie.
The movie's not awful.
It's
horrible.
No, they were going to show. They're showing it like on one of the cable networks, and it was like, it's like looking in a mirror, but not really. I was like, that is so horrible.
It's not,
but funny.
It's not even close to horrible.
It's horrible.
I can show you a horrible movie.
Okay,
Face-Off's not horrible.
Okay, people, check this out. Okay, John Travolta.
No, we're not getting off on your
tall, taller. Heavier set guy, and then they switch faces.
It's science
and then
fiction.
All of a sudden he becomes the skinnier, shorter guy.
It's science fiction. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Science fiction. Like Matt and I change bodies, and Matt then I become a like you know fit looking Hispanic white looking boy.
Science fiction. You're supposed to take it as that and take the movie for what it is. How is it any different than watching?
I would have believed it more. If the actors were similar built, like in an Asian flick where the, like, you know, if it was, it was probably done in an Asian flick and their bodies were more similar in size.
But
I could have believed it more.
It it works but because the of
face,
the actor.
Just so. Changing the faces doesn't mean the bodies are going to, like, totally change.
But the movie works because of who the actors are. Because this is when Travolta and Cage were in their prime, and they were could do no wrong for several years there. They both were having huge careers.
They were. Weren't they at that time? Oh, my gosh. So
the movie works because of them. And that's one thing you have to give the movie credit, regardless of the science of it. You have to put the science of it aside and just take it for a fun action film, because Cage and Travolta own that shit playing each other. They really do.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not
And that's what you have to take it for.
That's where I just certain
there's
things,
no different. There's
well, put it like this:
if you want to pick the science of a film about part, there's 100 movies you can do that with. But yet you still like them.
But like our friend Mark and I both agree, we like a little reality in our science fiction.
That makes no sense. We're just talking about Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, no, but Star Wars is Star Wars.
But
there is no reality in Star Wars.
Do you realize though that? Up until the last few years, the science of laser weapons was impossible, but yet people still watched it. Now they're saying that, you know, it could be possible, but it would use, like, an atomic amount of energy to make a laser weapon. But now they're saying it's possible. 5 years ago, they were like, no, it's not possible. So it's still different. You have to take it for what it is. You know, that's you can't nitpick apart a film that much.
Well, you know, in a galaxy far, far away, there are Jedi and Sith that use the Force. Here, we just have a bunch of crybabies that use the internet.
But yeah, so we named the new Twitter. Segment Face Off. And yeah, the little soundbite I'm going to use for it does come from that movie to introduce it. So that'll be on the next show when we have Matt here with us. And we're not going to tell you what the segment is, but we've got a new one. But we did create a new segment our last show called Download This.
Download This.
And because it's going to lead into our main topic today. So Frank, we should download this for people that didn't listen to the last episode. We tell you what we've maybe streamed lately, what we might have downloaded to our iOS device or to our iPad or whatever, you know, a game that we downloaded our PlayStation 4 that you might want to check out. So what have you downloaded lately?
I wouldn't say download necessarily as streamed, because I don't download a lot, you know, so we kind of said
same thing.
You're right. Okay. So I have only gotten like halfway through Death Race 2050.
It's yes, probably that hard
yes,
to make.
Yes, it's horribly good.
And this is directed by Roger Corman, who did the original.
Yes, it's horribly good, in the sense that it is horrible, but it's so funny horrible that you watch it.
You're dogging Face Off. Think about the
No, but it follows under the lines of the original Death Race 2000. But it's worse. But they keep the quirkiness of the characters. The design of the cars are out there. It's not like the one that was in the movie here, while they just like try to make a Mad Max vehicle and trucks and race them around a track out of prison. This is actually running over people, getting points for killing older people and younger people and stuff like that. And you know, you got Frankenstein. And
I saw it had Malcolm McDowell in it too.
But. Mark, you know me. What do you think I think the best part of the movie is?
It's probably got boobs in it.
Bingo! It has boobs in it.
I should know.
Reason why you should watch
Frank's
it right
watch
there.
Frank's going to watch a movie. It's got a tits and ass in it.
Damn straight. Yeah. Need I say more?
As we
Good
know...
Good reason to download or watch anything.
Where Frank's mind sits, people. Oh, man. I haven't really downloaded anything lately or stream. I haven't streamed a lot, but this still falls under Download This, because it's going to go into what we're talking about. And I've been doing a rewatch of Babylon 5.
The Babylon Project was our last best hope for peace. It failed. But in the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for victory. The year is 2260. The place, Babylon 5.
Which was the science fiction show from 1994 to 98. So that's my choice to download this, is check out Babylon 5 if you haven't. I don't think it's streaming anywhere, but I know it's available. I know Amazon Video has it.
You can might be able to. I don't know if you get it for free.
It's not free, but I know you can buy it on Amazon Video. I don't know if iTunes has it, but it's definitely available on Amazon Video. And Babylon 5 has recently turned 23 years old since the show began to air. Now, the pilot actually aired in 93, and the pilot for Babylon 5 was low budget, but they showed that there was a good enough story in it to, for the show to be picked up by syndication and networks. So the actual first episode of Babylon 5 didn't air till January of 94, almost, or 93, I mean, almost a year later. No, it was 94. Because they, so there were several months between the pilot, because back then they aired the pilot to try to sell the show. And I think they even released it on VHS to see how videos would do. So I don't even think they had DVD yet.
No, I don't think so.
And so Babylon 5 was picked up a year later. And the thing about Babylon 5 is, for people that don't know, it's all done by, created by J. Michael Straczynski. And the idea was to tell a 5-year story like a novel in television. And so everything tied together. Now, nowadays, that's no big deal. We watch The Walking Dead, Flash, Daredevil. All these shows are serialized now. You know, so to ask a viewer now to tune in every week is no big deal. But in the mid-90s, that was unheard of. To ask a viewer to stick with a show every week and be able to keep what's going on onto a greater story. And Babylon 5 had its struggles. It kept getting times changed around, but it had a very dedicated following to keep the ratings up. And it was canceled after season 4, so Straczynski had already written the final episode. And so they went ahead and filmed it. And they actually aired it at the end of episode 4, because it was supposed to be at the end, or season 4, because he didn't know he was going to get season 5. Then TNT came along and said, you know, we're going to save the show, and TNT co-financed the entire 5th season that ran on Turner Networks. And so we got kind of a new final episode at the end of that, but also, if you watch Babylon 5 in viewing order, you're supposed to watch the last episode of season 4 at the very end of the show. And there were also telemovies. It spawned several movies. In the beginning, Third Space, The River of Souls, A Call to Arms, and I know there's one I missed some of the movies, but there were several of them. And
a few.
The great thing about Babylon 5, though, is it's this whole story about a space station in the future after we've made first contact with other races. And it's, people dismiss it as kind of a Star Trek ripoff, and it's really not. It's the station, which is on neutral ground, where there are ambassadors from all these other planets that they're there for to bring peace and commerce so they can work out things in their differences. And it becomes the center for the greatest war the universe will ever see, and that's the Shadow War. And as the 5 years span out, it starts out kind of slow, little bit movie, it finds its pace. We're introduced to all these characters in this world, in this universe, and it unravels like a novel, literally. As the shadows come into play, the war begins, the war ends, the aftermath of the war in season 5, and probably still it was my number one show of all time for a long time until I watched Breaking Bad. It's probably now my number two show, because I think Breaking Bad is my number one.
I would almost say in a small way. You know, we don't talk politics here on this show, but maybe it kind of sparked a little bit of interest in politics, because a lot of these guys were diplomats, you know, but they are all diplomats in a sense. And there was backstabbing. They would stab their friends in the back, the other diplomats in the back, but yet they were still kind of friends at the same time. There was that love hate.
Well, right. But I can tell you, though, from watching Babylon 5 right now, I just started season 3 on my rewatch. It's political, but not political. It's political in the nature that they have treaties and they have wars with each other.
Right, but there's
they don't very rarely make comments to modern politics
or anything like that, even in the
mid-90s. You know,
you understand that there's politics going on and negotiations and stuff like this and underhand backstabbing type stuff, but yet there's still this friendship there. So it's kind of like, you're my friend, but I'm still going to do stuff that benefits me and my race. but yet still be polite to you.
Well,
to your
face.
Know,
they're always friends as much as mutual respect for
exactly,
each other.
Exactly, exactly. You know,
and you watched it back in the 90s, and where does it rank for you? I know it's been a while since you've watched it, but where does it rank for you in your pantheon of television shows you've ever watched?
Oh, I guess probably the top 15. I'd have to sit there and really think about it.
You don't think it'd be top 5? You've ever watched?
Maybe.
I mean,
the top 10.
Let me tell you, I'm rewatching it right now, and it's better now than it was. And I encourage you, because I know you own the DVDs too,
right?
To go back and watch it like I've been doing. You appreciate it so much more now. You see how it all ties together.
Now, my question is, I don't remember. Was it in widescreen or standard
format?
It
is shot in widescreen.
I thought so.
The only thing that's not widescreen, I believe, is the pilot, The Gathering, movie.
Then wasn't he one of the few
Straczynski knew that widescreen has become the norm, so he shot Babylon 5 in 16:9. What's weird is some of the special effects aren't shot, but they blew them up. So it gets better as you get into the second and third season, but some of the first season special effects, because they
and
blew
the makeup
them,
gets better.
Some
thankfully.
Of the first season special effects, they blew them up to make them 16:9, so they look a little, I wouldn't say fuzzy, but you can tell in the first season, because they didn't have the budgets in the first season to make the special effects in 16:9, which is kind of weird, because the show was shot in it, but they had the effects were a little different. So yes, it's very cool, the fact that I remember reading somewhere there were only two shows that were shooting in widescreen in the mid-90s, Babylon 5, and believe it or not, ER. ER started shooting in widescreen like in 93, 94. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Everybody was still going with the standard format of 4 by whatever that is.
And so the show, but you're right, there were some really great characters like the Londo, Malari, and Jakar. It's such a great relationship with their characters.
Right, that love, hate.
They were at war with each other 1,000 years ago, and then the war starts again while they're in Babylon 5, and the Centauri basically take over all the Narn, and yet they're stuck on the station to have to work together and try to not kill each other. And there's much more depth to the show. Like, the character Londo has a dream in the future where he sees him and Jakar choking each other, and that comes out to play in one of the telemovies they did, where we get to see that feature and what happens as a result of the Shadow War. And it's hard to explain the show for people that haven't seen it. So, but if you haven't watched Babylon 5, give it a chance. You might not regret it. If you love really greatly written science fiction that plays out with a really great storyline and really wonderful characters, it's definitely a show you want to check out. And I might make a Star Trek fan here mad or two, but it's better than any Star Trek television show it's been on. I'm not going to dog the original Star Trek, because that was a special time when it came out in the 60s. And but I would watch Babylon 5. Excuse me. I would watch Babylon 5 over Star Trek any day. Any of the modern Star Treks.
Yeah. I think Deep Space Nine would be like my second choice as far as what I would watch other than Babylon 5.
Well, the nice thing about Babylon 5 is because he knew what he was doing with the show, it always had a focus. And I'm not saying it didn't have filler episodes, because every show has filler episodes. Even today's serialized shows like The Walking Dead and stuff, they have filler episodes. But Babylon 5, though, knew what it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. It knew where it was going. Sometimes with the Star Trek shows, they didn't have that. You know, they would just run these seasons, and there's some Star Trek seasons just drag and drag and drag because nothing exciting happens. And that's the nice thing about Babylon 5 is it was told like a book on television.
Right.
And I think that's why it worked so well. And so that brings us to our main topic today. Babylon 5 had a spinoff show. They ended the show with a telemovie called A Call to Arms, where it took place a few years after Babylon 5 was going to be decommissioned. And it takes place, there's a virus that's unleashed on Earth. So they send out a crew that includes the Babylon 5 Captain Sheridan.
Which was not the original captain.
He wasn't the original captain, but he came on the show the second season. He ends up becoming president of the Earth Alliance. So they go on a mission to find this cure in the show called Crusade, which was a Babylon 5 spinoff. And it only lasted 13 episodes. And Crusade was really good. It was going to be just as good as Babylon 5 if it worked out. But unfortunately, the people that watched Babylon 5 didn't seem to follow it on TNT, and its ratings weren't there, so they only did 13 episodes. That brings us to TV shows that didn't make it where we wanted them to, you know, that were canceled too soon. And there's a lot of them out there.
Quite a few, and actually. And ones that I enjoyed.
And Crusade got me thinking about shows that we watched, and obviously the first one that comes to mind... apologize. I feel like you were talking to me before the show, like I've been sick since Christmas, and in some ways I have. We've had a colds going around our work, and everyone keeps passing around, so I got better for a week or two, and got a little sick again. But I'm fighting through it for this show. And so TV shows that were canceled, I think the number one that anyone's listening right now is automatically going to think Firefly.
Yep, that's my number one.
You know, which, of course, was Joss Whedon's sci-fi western. And it only aired about 13 episodes, I believe it was, on Fox.
But it was so good.
And Fox put it on, like, Friday nights when no one watches television. They aired it completely out of order. They didn't like the pilot. They liked some other episode better, so Fox put that episode on as the premiere and aired the pilot later. So people watched it when it aired, and it didn't make sense because it was out of order. And it just... It found an audience, but it didn't find an audience. It didn't find an audience good enough to get renewed. Because, right. You know, but it found a loyal audience of sci-fi people that watched it. Loyal enough that they were able to get a movie called Serenity, which is the name of the ship in Firefly. And I was a backwards Firefly fan. I actually saw Serenity first. And I didn't really know what it was. I'm like, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And it gave... I like Serenity enough that...
So wait. Did you see it at the theater?
Or? No, I saw it on video.
Okay.
And it gave me enough to go back and watch Firefly. I think I picked up the DVDs for $15 or something, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch the show.
Yeah, I bought the box set when I found it super cheap.
And so I went back and watched Firefly, and people who have listened to the show know I'm not the biggest Joss Whedon fan. I think he's kind of a D-back. But I do like Firefly a lot. I think it's the best thing he's done. It's really well written, and I wish we could have gotten more. And we never will. No. All these campaigns now about, oh, bring Firefly back, do a second season. Sorry, people. It's just not going to happen now. It's been too long.
The actors have moved on to actually better roles.
If it happened 4 or 5 years now, but now that we've moved on to, what, 12 years since it aired, it's not going to happen. People can stop spending their money on campaigns to try to bring it back.
Yeah.
And,
basically shut down the GoFundMe website for it.
You know, and just enjoy what we have. Enjoy Firefly we have. Watch your Blu-rays, DVDs, enjoy the movie, and support it through that. That's the best way. Do you have a show that you really enjoyed that canceled too soon?
Oh, man, there's so many. Okay, I'm going to throw this way back. Way, way back. It's not even, like, on a list of probably lists. It was a movie, then it became a TV series, Alien Nation. I loved the series Alien Nation.
But I remember the series not being very good, though.
I liked the characters. I liked the whole illegal aliens that are technically more legal.
There are rumors of them remaking that into like a TV series, but I think it's going to be like FX or AMC, one of the better networks.
Right. I just like the dynamics of this entire alien race stranded here that were slaves. So it kind of like has a lot of like, I guess, you know, bag, you know, slavery that we dealt here in America, them having to overcome prejudice against them and stuff, and being able to cope elsewhere because they couldn't handle salt water, so they didn't hang out at the beach too much, I'm assuming.
Alien Nation was an excellent movie. I just remember the TV show being kind of lackluster.
I like the TV series better than I like the movie. Hmm. You know, even though I own it. Another one that I didn't even think about. You kind of like sent me a link to shows, but they're ones that I watched, and yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of it. I mean, off the top of my head, but yeah, there's ones that I do wish they would have lasted longer. One that I'm picking here did get a half a season because it actually got canceled after the first season. And then fans complained and wrote in. So they did like a half season to wrap it up, which was Jericho. You know, what would this country be like after a nuclear attack?
Yeah, I remember when that show aired. It was one, I didn't watch it, but I remember it was one of those shows that they stopped, they canceled after the mid-season, didn't bring it back, but then the people wanted the story to be kind of finishing. So they came back with, like, what, 3 or 4 episodes or something?
Yeah, and I remember, you get it all in one box set.
Yeah, and I remember people complained, though. Like, it's funny. I remember it being one of those shows where people complained that it got canceled, but they also complained that they got 3 rushed episodes to end the story. Like, I guess the quality lacked on those last 3 episodes. But, hey, you get what you get, I guess.
I think they were kind of, like, irritated that Texas was kind of, like, the hero in the story. You know, we're basically the one state that kind of, like, still, you know, wave the red, white, and blue prouder than any of the other states, and I'm not just talking about the Texas flag. Right. I mean, at least Texas still honored the Constitution and the, you know, and the Declaration of Independence and all that, where like some of the other states were kind of going a little towards communism type, and
like in the show,
well, like a lot of you didn't have your constitutional rights in some of the states.
Like in the show?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like a lot of them were trying to secede, become their own independent states instead of like pulling together.
After the nuclear bomb.
Right.
Oh, okay. I was
right,
like,
where half the country lost communication. Because what a lot of people might not know is that Texas literally controls 2/3 of the electrical grid in this country. If the Texas electrical grid shuts down, pretty much this country's screwed, you know, and it's one of those things about like communities pulling together. If you're a doomsday prepper, probably one of your scenarios.
There were a lot of shows like that in the 2000s, you know, like remember like the list I sent you, like that show, The Event, things like that. There were a lot of shows that dealt with like, that was a very popular theme in the 2000s because we got out of the whole end of the millennium thing and people worried about Y2K. So the idea of having events or doomsday scenarios happen and people having to come together was a very popular subject. We had the movie 2012, Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
A very popular thing there for a while.
Yeah.
A show I really liked, because I'm a Terminator fan. I really liked the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
And, did you? I didn't watch it.
And granted, continuity-wise, maybe it was a little, you know, it was kind of like watching the old Highlander TV series. You just take it for what it is. The continuity was kind of out there with it, you know. Excuse me again. But it was definitely very good, the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles. Lena Headey, who played, it was in 300 and Dread. She was Sarah Connor in it. And it was really good. Summer Glau, who was in Firefly, she played like the Terminator in it. And it only lasted 2 seasons, and this was a Fox show. Fox, of course, along with Firefly, has been notorious over the years for canceling shows too soon or putting them on the wrong nights. It's amazing that they have shows like The X-Files, 24, Simpsons, that did last as long as they did, because Fox is just like, you know,
if you don't get a certain rating,
And
they're gone.
And I don't want to get arguing over 24, because I know you're not as big a fan. I like 24 a lot. You like the early seasons, and you got to
wait. I like the first couple of seasons.
I do agree that 24 ran too long. 4 or 5 seasons of Jack Bauer was good. Now, they redeemed themselves with the last couple of seasons because it was good again. But there's 2 middle seasons there. They should have shortened 24.
I think that's where I kind of fell off the 24 wagon.
So, Fox, you know, again, Terminator and Sarah Connor Chronicles was really good, and I don't think it's available on Blu-ray. I think it's only on DVD, and I think that's why I haven't bought it, because I'd like to have it on Blu-ray, because it was a really good-looking show.
Did it have an ending of any kind, or just kind of like dead ends?
It kind of had an ending, but kind of dead end, if I remember right, because I think it's been a while. I only watched it when it was on. I've never rewatched it. It's one of those that if they ever put it on Netflix, it could be on Hulu. I don't know. I know Hulu has a lot of Fox stuff. I don't have Hulu.
Right.
You need to check that and let me know if it's on Hulu. Because if it is, maybe I'd rewatch it. Because I thought it was really well done. And another show, which you did too, so I'm doing two.
I'm going to do 4.
I don't really remember. I kind of remember watching this, but not with Space Above and Beyond. Like, Space, I remember my dad kind of watching it in the mid-90s.
Sounds somewhat familiar.
And I know it was very popular and had a huge following, similar to Firefly, for a while. It was the Earth was in a war against these alien invaders. And I remember it focused on a Marine squadron and their involvement in it. And I remember kind of watching it with my dad, and I just don't remember like being hardcore. And I remember it had a huge following, and but this was kind of pre-internet in the mid-90s. And it kind of got canceled too soon. And I remember when the internet started getting popular late 90s, there were fan sites and things popping up to try to revive Space Above and Beyond. And I just remember it being like a, kind of a counter Star Trek back in the day. It was more of a sci-fi adventure story than it was aliens and all that. It was simply about, it was more like a war story, only in a sci-fi universe, you know? What's your next show that got canceled too soon?
I believe it only lasted two seasons. It was SGU, Stargate Universe. You know I'm a big...
There were a couple...
You know I'm a big Stargate fan.
There was that one in Atlantis. People, we were doing research for the show. I saw that one and Star Trek Atlantis both came up as people say it was canceled too soon.
I think Atlantis at least had a real ending to it to a degree. I think, to me, I'm one of those people that things should only last 5 years tops, and I think Atlantis kind of falls in that. I mean, the problem with Atlantis is that Stargate ran so long that it was becoming, it started making fun of itself,
right,
in the later seasons. And then you had Atlantis spinning off of it, and it was almost kind of, in some way, some of the episodes were feeling similar. Like, they were almost taking and rewriting certain scripts from Stargate to this one, whereas SGU was completely different but the same, in a sense. Like, they were literally trapped on this really kick-ass ship out in the middle of nowhere space. Like, they had literally no idea where they were. And it ended with them kind of like going, okay, we don't know where we are, and we're going to just die floating out in space, and it's time to take a nap.
Right.
You know, and that's how they kind of ended it. And I was hoping they would come back with them actually doing more with it, because they when they traveled to planets, when they actually used their Stargate and they traveled to planets, the planets that they went to were actually pretty damn cool, because they were trying to find supplies. They weren't like, oh, we're... At first, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to make this planet our home, or we're going to make this planet our home. We're going to get on this planet, we're going to find supplies, get back on the ship, and get back to Earth. But then as time went by, they realized, okay, we might never get back to Earth, so we might start just looking for a home on one of these planets. And a lot of the people wanted to find a planet and just stay on it and make it the new home for these people. But I think some might have stayed on some planets, but the core characters were really fun. You know, you had like people that actors or like types of people that you might not normally see gel together, put in a situation in which they had to gel. Like on Earth, they would have like had nothing in common, probably would have spent little to no time even interacting with each other. But because of that situation, they did.
So how many of them Stargate damn shows did they end up? There was Stargate SG-1, Atlantis, and Universe. That was it?
Yeah.
Seems like there was one more. Yeah, they've been talking about rebooting Star Trek, but Roland Emmerich, you know, directed the original movie. He says he's kind of talked about, he doesn't want anything to do with it, you know, because a lot of people don't realize that the TV show and the movie have nothing to do with each other. That
they fall in the... No, yeah, they do.
No, if you...
In a sense, they do.
Now, according to Roland Emmerich, who created it, he said that because they lost, they left, he said he blames himself. He said his rights to it he had given to the studio, and he didn't keep them. And the studio went and made these shows, and it ruined his ideas for any sequels he had. Because the creator, he had nothing to do with the television show.
Right, but the movie, the TV series, falls in line with what happened in the movie. The characters, there are characters
The
TV series from the planet that they went to.
Right.
And actors that appeared, and they reprised their roles from the movie.
Well, no, that part I know.
So, yes, it does tie into the movie. What he might have wanted to do with it, too bad. That's his problem. He let it go. I mean, when you let something go, don't cry about it, because that's your own fault.
Right, but...
I love the TV series. It was hilarious. It had great action. Made me want to own a P90, because there's like the coolest things you could have if you like that.
I remember watching the show a little bit. I thought parts were okay. You know, I remember watching the pilot episode and thinking, why are they remaking the movie on television? You know, it's like, yeah.
But I like the movie. And, you have to get the director's cut extended edition to actually comprehend what's going on in that movie.
Ah,
kind of like The Abyss.
Nah, it's not as big as the Abyss, because the Stargate director's cut's only like 8 minutes.
But it does add a lot. That 8 minutes, because there's movies that you say that little 5 minutes makes a world of difference. Like, you know, you said it yourself, Batman v Superman, that little 5 or 10 minutes that
30 minutes they added in that.
Whatever, made a big difference.
Stargate was a decent movie.
You know, The Abyss, man, the first time I saw The Abyss was on TV, and it was the theatrical version, and on VHS, and so much was cut out of that movie. You were like,
"That's a whole episode there on? Talking director's cuts."
But anyway,
which used to be a very popular thing in the 80s and 90s.
Well, I've done three. What's the third one you can think of?
I'm going to give Star Trek fans some love here, even though I was dogging them earlier, because I still think Babylon 5 is better than Star Trek. But I do think Enterprise ended too early. And,
I do too.
And that wasn't because the show was canceled. A lot of people forget that was Paramount Pictures saying, okay, we want to reboot Star Trek. We're trying to figure out how. So they kind of canceled Enterprise on their own. They pulled it from the air and said, now granted, Enterprise's ratings weren't as high as Next Generation, Voyager, and the other shows.
Right.
But a lot of that had to do with Paramount pulling it, saying we're taking it off the air because we want to reboot Star Trek. And of course, we got J.J. Abrams and all that rebooting the series. And but that last season felt very rushed on Enterprise. It's like, okay, all of a sudden we have to end the show. And it just felt incomplete. Like Scott Bakula, I can't remember the character name that he played, but he was the actor who played the captain. It just felt like they didn't get to complete what they were doing on Enterprise. And I always wanted it to get to that point where it tied in with Kirk and them, you know. And it never quite got there. They alluded to it, but it never really got to that point. And it was a shame the show ended a little too soon.
I don't think it ever would got to Kirk.
Well, no, not to Kirk, but at least
because that was Enterprise A, right? And there was
but
B,
that's what I wanted to get
Enterprise
to. I wanted to get to.
Familiar with
I wanted to get to that
right?
point
no.
where his Enterprise was decommissioned.
Was
I wanted to get to that point where we're leading towards the future captains.
Right.
But Star Trek Enterprise definitely was one I actually watched that. Just because I think at the time there wasn't a lot of sci-fi on TV,
and we like Scott Bakula,
so I was watching it. And that was one. But, you know, now it seems like with Netflix and stuff that television shows are getting second chances sometimes. Or one we didn't mention as honorable mention was Constantine from a couple years ago on NBC that they didn't give it a chance. That was really good.
Yeah.
And now Constantine is going to be continued like in an animated form of Vixen. On Vixen. On the CW scene, Vixen was their other little animated show. So, you know, it still happens on network television. We get these shows that get canceled too soon, but some Netflix and stuff is allowing shows to succeed longer. Like, I think every year the last 5 years, Once Upon a Time has been threat of getting canceled. Oh, but look at those Netflix numbers. People are binging this show, so they end up renewing it. You know, I just know that's one off the top of my head, and I tried watching Once Upon a Time, and I couldn't really get into it. And but, you know, so it still happens, but Netflix and streaming has allowed shows to be saved more now, you know, than they used to be.
I have a rhetorical questions for you. Do you like action?
Yeah.
Do you like sci-fi?
Yeah.
Do you like stuff that's kind of funny and quirky?
It depends on the funny and quirky.
Do you like stuff done by Jim Henson Studios?
Jim Henson? Jam?
Jim Henson.
You said Jam Henson.
I don't remember saying Jam, but whatever. Jim Henson Studios.
Some of the newer stuff since he's all passed on has been kind of eh.
But you like puppets and stuff like that?
Sometimes.
Then you need to watch Farscape.
I watched Farscape some. It was okay.
I love Farscape.
It was funny. That was on the list, though, of one that I sent you. But I don't remember that being canceled too soon.
It was canceled.
But didn't they finish that in a movie?
Yeah, they came back with a little bit of in a movie thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But that kind of like what they did with Serenity for Firefly. But it still got canceled a little too soon.
But it aired like 5 years, didn't it?
No, I think it was only 3 seasons.
It just seemed like it aired. I guess it seems like it was on a lot because that's all the Sci-Fi Channel had at the time.
Well, so, that and Stargate.
So I guess that's why it seemed like it aired forever.
But I love that. And the reason why I like Stargate, Atlanta, the other star at the end of the seasons of Stargate was that they brought the actors from there to take on some of the lead roles.
Yeah, no, I watched some of Farscape. So, it was okay. I just never die hard about it, but I watched a little bit of it. It was
I just love the
characters. I remember you watched it, but yeah, that was one. I just, when I saw that list, I just remember that. I remember that show got an ending, so it did get an ending with the
right.
But it wasn't. A lot of them had it was endings, a television but they
weren't as long
right.
as you would have liked them to have been. You would have liked them to at least gone to 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been one of those people. 5 years is good for anything.
And now you're getting, some of these shows are very successful now. They're getting, like, it all kind of started in when the mid-2000s with Lost. You know, when Lost was very successful in the third or fourth season, they came out and said, look, we're going to go 6 seasons. That's it. It's a very smart thing to do. Game of Thrones has done it now. 8 seasons, that's going to be it. That way it gives people an idea. They feel that, don't you feel sometimes when you see a new show, do I want to commit to this? Is it going to get canceled? And now they say, we're going to run this long and you can commit to it. And I think that's a good idea that shows do that. So you don't feel you're going to waste your time watching something and not get more. You know, like, you feel pretty safe with most of these Netflix shows that you're going to get a beginning, middle, and end.
But Netflix is different because you can binge watch them.
Yeah, but even
you
those...
watch them at your pace.
Even those, they go by ratings. Like, there's a show my wife watches called Bloodline. And I watched the first episode with her. Yeah, it was all right. And,
they go by how many people actually watch it?
Exactly. And they just announced that they're going to do a third and final season because its ratings have been low on how many people watch it. So.
Right. here's been my biggest thing about, because of what we're talking about, has been my biggest reason why it's hard for me to even commit to a new show, is because there's been so many shows that I've liked, whether it's a sci-fi or just an action or a drama or even a comedy, that get canceled. So it's kind of like, do I even want to invest watching one season or half a season of this and thinking that they're going to cancel it? Or you go in 2 seasons into a series, or 3 or even 4, and then they just cancel it, and there's, like, no satisfied ending to it. And then you don't even want... And then they try to sell you the box set, the DVDs, and like, why would I want to buy a series that has no ending? Like, if you went and got the Sarah Jane Chronicles or...
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, whatever. Any of these things, you know, why would you want to buy the DVD set when you know there's no significant ending? You're just watching it to a nothing.
Well... And sometimes, though, it's just to have it as part of that series franchise that you like. You know, some people just do it to collect them. You know,
it would be like knowing that you went to see The Hobbit or one half of The Lord of the Rings or half a Harry Potter movie and knowing that there wasn't going to be a second half of the Harry Potter.
Well, right, and movie studios are doing the same thing now. They're trying to guarantee franchise deals where they film movies back-to-back and hope they can launch franchises.
You know.
And the movie studios, I think... John Carter has really taught studios a lesson, because John Carter, which wasn't a bad film, but no one saw it, has taught studios a lesson. It's like, if we're going to release we're going to launch a franchise, we have to do it the right way. And you're starting to see studios be a little less risky with those major franchises now, you know. And television, same way. I think they're getting smarter about it. And unfortunately, there's going to be shows that, like we talked about today, that have gone into the movie graveyard, so to speak, that never got the storyline completed. This all started with talking about Babylon 5. Babylon 5 did get its story completed. It's just its spinoff didn't get it completed. And other shows didn't, like the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Sarah Jane Chronicles.
What? Well, no, there is this. That's Doctor Who.
Speaking of Doctor Chronicles. Who, you see a brief note. Legendary actor John Hurt passed on. He was, of course, played in Doctor Who, and he was in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skull. I mean, John Hurt's been in everything. He was in the original Alien, and 77 years old, but we have his movies to live on, and just a good actor. And he got that raspy voice, always remember. He played, I can't think of his character name, but he was in the Hellboy movies. You know, he played their surrogate father to Hellboy and the other creatures. So, you know, rest in peace to John Hurt. And so, you know, if you have any shows that you... we had a question. I'm starting a new thing on Facebook where I'm trying to get people to ask us questions we can answer on the show. It's kind of a trendy thing to do, you know, but every podcast does it. So I'm like, why the hell not? We'll do it too. So Frank and I shall answer this question before we go today.
Or at least to the best of our capability.
And, my friend Ronnie, who actually work with. You know, I was hoping to get like a random question. But thank you, though, Ronnie. He says, it's a zombie apocalypse. And you're stranded with the main character from the last video game you played. How screwed are you?
Let me see. Actually, I think I'll be playing pretty damn good.
Why?
Because I've been playing Uncharted.
So you'd have Nathan Drake?
Damn straight. That dude could climb up on anything, duck, well, cover, shoot.
I knew you'd bought Alien Isolation.
Maybe, not the way I play them sometimes.
I knew you'd played Alien Isolation, so I thought
I'd
maybe
be totally screwed, dude.
You were going to say you had Ripley's daughter or something.
Nah, I can't even get past the first part where she's trying to get some kind of like part to fix another part. I keep getting shot.
I'm trying to think of the last game I played. You know what? I was playing Arkham Knight, so I'd have Batman with me.
So we're both good.
Yeah, so that was the last thing I played. So that answered our question. If you have questions, leave them on our Facebook page or our Twitter, all at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. You can go find all links to everything.
No, wait. Before you go out, let's think of some games that we have that would be in bad if we were playing them and we got stuck with that character. Like
Mario? What's he going to do?
You know, bounce off some heads.
That's
So one of the last few games you played was Mario?
No, well, Mario Run on my phone. Yeah, so you know, Mario would be bad.
Yeah,
I don't know if it gets worse than that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know, I mean, unless you were playing a game like the Smurfs or some shit, what's the Smurf gonna do? You know, I don't know. It's just random. Or a Kirby.
I would say the
mostly game, Nintendo characters.
Yeah. You know, I was playing DuckTales on my phone.
Yeah, what's going on with Duck? Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah. So, good question though. But luckily, neither one of us might be that screwed.
Uncle Scrooge.
I'd have the damn Batman. So. Yeah, thanks for listening. I mean, that's all we've got today. Thanks for listening. Go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Again, if you can leave us a quick 5-star review on iTunes or Google Play, we'd really appreciate it. And hopefully next time in the studio, we'll start our new segment with Face Off, as we'll have Matt here with us. And
all his goofiness.
Yeah, and that's it. This has been Mark.
Frank T. Biscuit.
Until next time, just go there and do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio podcast.